had a lot of things on my heart, and it's been kind of a whirlwind since Brother Revis had asked me to fill in for him. Tonight we're going to take our text from Joshua chapter 14. If you would stand for... Sorry, I'm used to standing in front of this podium. Are we on now? Okay, we should be on now. Okay. I always forget to push the button. Joshua chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite, and said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses and the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware unto that day, saying, Surely the land that whereon thy feet have trodden, thou shalt be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake these words unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong as the day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. I want you to remember that part. Now, for give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Amalekites were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. And if so be the Lord, will I be with me, when I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to preach your word. Father, I just pray that they listen to the message, not the messenger. Father, I pray that someone out there that you had in mind when you laid this message on my heart. Father, I pray that you let me pronunciate, you let me speak, you give me liberties to say what you've laid on my heart and say everything that needs to be said, but nothing that doesn't. Father, I thank you again for all that you do. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the part that I want you to remember here tonight is, now therefore give me this mountain. I want that mountain. And a lot of us need that mountain. God is a mountain for you, and he has a mountain for me. He's laid a mountain in front of each and every one of us. Some of you are a little bit younger than me. Some of you are a little bit older than me. But nevertheless, there's still a mountain laid before you in each and everything that you do. Getting out of bed in the morning to go to work. Visiting with family. Lord knows there's a mountain there. Coming to church. Doing the things in school. Doing the things at work. Doing the things going to the store. There's a mountain in our lives if we're just trying to go to Walmart. But it takes something special to get to the top of this mountain. To get over that hump and get to the top of the mountain. To get to the top takes some determination and faith to get there. And the path to climb this mountain is not always clear. Sometimes we don't understand we've got these obstacles to face in front of us. Sometimes we don't expect these obstacles to face in front of us. It's like driving down the interstate, you know, averaging 4,000 miles a week. How many obstacles do you think can get in your way when you're trying to average 4,000 miles a week driving a truck? Every obstacle in every state, in every city, and every podunk little town that interstate goes through, you're going to face an obstacle. And it's the same way in our lives. We have to be prepared for these obstacles. We have to be prepared for unexpected things to be thrown in our path. There's one person that can prepare us for each and every obstacle to help us climb that mountain. And I don't know about you, but I've had my share of obstacles. I'm not as experienced as most people in this room, but I have had my share of obstacles. And these obstacles have smacked me right in the face. They have taken me to my knees. They've hurt my feelings. Put all my keys on one key ring, they've hurt so bad. I'm going to quit. But God told me, you ain't quitting. You're not meant to quit. I didn't bring you into this, and I didn't lead you in this path for you to quit anything. He is the one who gives us the strength to overcome these obstacles. The path's not always clear and marked, but there's one step. There may be a couple here tonight that won't get what I'm about to say. It won't get any of the rest of this sermon. There's some people in here looking kind of nervous. They're afraid of what I'm going to say. I don't get invited to a lot of meetings at work because they're afraid I'm going to say something. I'm not the most politically correct. But guess what? The Bible doesn't say be politically correct. It says show love. It says be kind. Right thing at the right time. Telling somebody the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts. Doesn't say too much about careful, but it does say kind, it does say love. But you got to be born again to understand what I'm fixing to get to. Your first step is to be saved. To begin the climb, you must first be born again. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Our kids memorized that verse. My memory's terrible. I just read it. But I did make sure it was my King James Version. You have to be saved to understand where I'm going with these next few points. And you'll be glad to know that I've only got 4 points to make tonight. Yeah. They're checking their watch already. I'm watching that. But you got to be born again. You got to be saved. It's easy as ABC, right? We teach our kids. Admit that we're sinners, believe on Jesus Christ, and confession is made with our mouth. You have to be born again to understand where I'm going and this mountain I'm trying to climb. And this is coming from my study, and this is what the Lord's laid on my heart. It may or may not mean something to you, but it means a lot to me. And God's got somebody in mind for this tonight. The first thing in getting started, Matthew 6:33. Where's Brother Tweed? I'm sorry. It's come up in Sunday school again this morning, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The first thing we have to do is get started. Take that first step. Make that first move. Take that first step to be climbing that mountain. If we stay in that valley the whole time, oh, that mountain's just too tall. I don't think I can do it. I don't think never could do, by the way. I don't think... That kind of negative speech, that kind of negative thought, and by the way, if we start speaking negative and we start speaking that kind of speech, that kind of spreads around to all of our friends too. When I start saying I can't do, the next thing I know my friends are saying we can't do. Well, I'm telling you, you can do as long as you put Christ first. As long as you put the Lord first, you can do, and we can together. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. God has to come first in your life. The only way you're even going to find the trail to start the mountain is if God's leading the way. You're going to find all these trails that look easy, you know. That's what the world wants you to see. The world wants you to wind around and around and around that mountain and never get to the top. The world wants to see you struggle. You young people is getting into school, you know, good and heavy. That world wants to see you struggle. God wants to see you at the top of that mountain. God wants to see you grow and learn and mature in him. But God must come first. Many Christians lose the Christian race before they even start it. Oh, it's too hard, or I can't do. You know, I seen a drawing one time that said, I can't. And then somebody started erasing the T and drew the cross out beside it. And now it says, I can through Christ. You can do anything through Christ, but he has to be our starting point. Just like being saved, just like coming to him. That promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Just coming to him, that's our starting point, and putting him first. They depend on a change of mind rather than a change of heart. You know, many people give a profession of faith. A few years ago, we were at an event. Let's call it an entertainment event with some of our young people. And I'm not a big fan of these mass altar calls, especially with our young people. Because you look up and there's 1,000 kids standing up front and they have no idea why, because they got excited. Their mind got ahead of them. They got excited. A lot of these churches have these smoke and mirrors. They've taken out this sacred desk and they put up a bunch of lights and smoke show. And they get people excited. Not under conviction, but excited. And in their mind, they've changed their mind. But you can change your mind a million times a day, and without a change of heart, you got nothing. If you don't change your heart, the same time you change your mind about what you're going to do and who you're going to follow and who you're going to put number one, if you don't change your heart, that's going to just go away. The changes that you make in your heart is permanent. The changes that you're making in your mind is going to change next time you decide to have something different for lunch. How many people tried more than one thing for lunch today? Well, I want a hamburger. No, I want chicken. No, I want a salad. No, I want baked potatoes. No, you change your mind a million times a day. But what we need right now in this country, in this state, in this town, in this church, is our heart to change. Base the profession on feelings rather than God's promises. I've seen so many people, young and old, get excited and base a profession of faith on what they're feeling right now. And you know what? They don't lay their burdens at the foot of the cross. They don't trust in God to take care of the things that's going wrong in their life. They lay them down to come in here and to worship, or come in here for Sunday school, or come in here for some kind of event, and they pick them right back up as soon as they get to the front door and head out to their car. Many of them are thinking about the problems that they've got before they even get back to their car. Because we don't, what? I don't want to say we don't trust him, because we say we trust him, right? Anybody in here believe the first five words of the Bible? In the beginning, God created. First five words of the Bible. If you can believe and trust in the first five words in the Bible, why can't we believe and trust in the rest of it? It's a change of heart, not a change of mind. So that's getting started. The second's a right attitude, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's some bad days that each of us has had. And you young people, if you haven't experienced bad days or disappointing times, it's probably coming. But to be able to say rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Having the right attitude. You know, it's a lot of times I get my feelings hurt. I don't have the right attitude. I might get angry. I might pout. I'm ugly when I pout. Even uglier when I cry. But sometimes I sit in the Jeep and cry. When the Bible and my Lord is telling me just to rejoice in your situation. Just to rejoice in the place that I put you. Just rejoice in being in the place that I know he's put me in the right place at the right time. If we give him control, complete control, back up to number one, God must come first. If we give him complete control in starting this climb up the mountain, he will put us in the right places at the right time. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say that he's going to keep you from having to do any kind of suffering. It's all going to be a bed of roses. All the way to the pearly gates, it's going to be a bed of roses. It does not say that anywhere in this book. But it does say that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how many people's coming down on your back, no matter how wrong you've been at one time or another in your life, it nowhere in here says he's going to leave you. And I've been wrong plenty, but he's never left me. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say again, rejoice. Keep your eyes on the Lord. There's too many bells and whistles. There's too much bling out there. There's too much distraction, either from social media or from friends or from school or from playing ball. There's too much distractions out there, too many distractions out there. If we can get some tunnel vision here for just a little bit and just concentrate on what the Lord has for you. Maybe it's what the Lord has for your church. Maybe it's what the Lord has for your neighbor. Maybe it is just what the Lord's had for you. If we could get some tunnel vision, put him first and concentrate on what he has for you in your life. Stop worrying about what so-and-so's done to you, or what so-and-so might have said about you, or what he said about you, or what she said about you. Doesn't matter if we're concentrating on what the Lord has for you in your life. The Lord didn't say that about you. Another, guess what? I'm going to say it out loud. Another imperfect human might have said something about you. But it wasn't the Lord. And he's the one we should be focusing on. Not these distractions. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on where you're headed, not where you've been. There's some things about my life I really hope most of you guys never find out. But the Lord knows about them. And I'm not going back there again. I don't live there anymore. I've said it in Sunday school. There's a reason that the windshield is much bigger than the rearview mirror. When you guys start driving, you'll understand that. That windshield, especially on these new cars, windshield's huge. You got to be able to see everything that you're headed toward. And that rearview mirror, well, most of the time I don't even use mine. Guess what? A big truck doesn't have a rearview mirror. It's got two big side mirrors. So you get out of habit even looking in that. I'm going to challenge you now. Stop looking behind you. And no matter what you've done in your life, yeah, you're going to remember that. It's going to hurt. There's going to be an ouch there from time to time. And the devil's going to keep reminding you that that's there. But guess what? If you've asked the Lord to forgive you for that, that's no longer there. That's part of your testimony. And that testimony is not so you could keep back and going back and making that same mistake over and over again. Because the same mistake made over and over again is no longer a mistake, by the way. That's a choice. God will forgive you for your mistakes. But when you make the same mistake over and over again, that becomes a choice. So keep your eyes on where you're headed. Don't look back. Luke 9:62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's pretty cut and dry to me. You put your hand to the plow. You started your service. You started that garden. You started planting that seed. And no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Guys, he's trying to tell us you're all in or you're not. And once we make that step and we start climbing that mountain, we start making our ascent up that mountain, he's always going to be there to help us. That's going to be our foothold. That's going to be when we reach out for help, he's going to be the one there with the rope to help us. We must be optimistic, looking for good, not the bad. Looking for good and moving forward. That's the right attitude. Being optimistic. Now, if we want to start right now, I grew up in Emory Heights, so I know some things about you guys too. Just like you know a lot of stuff about me. But we can look for the good in each other. We can look for the good in each other. First one I think about is Brother Johnny Devine. Gave me my first cash-paying job when I was a kid cleaning up brush. I probably didn't do a very good job, but he paid me anyway. I mean, I was little. That's how far I go back with most of you folks here in this church. We have to be optimistic, looking for the good in people and not the bad. Because if you're looking for the bad in me, it's probably pretty easy to find. My past, it's probably pretty easy for me to find. Yeah, somebody else said it. That redheaded 15-year-old terrorizing the neighborhood. Let me introduce myself. My name is Brother Ronnie Stockton, and I am now a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wasn't then. This is who God's made me now. And if he can work these miracles in me, he can work these miracles in you. Number three, the right action. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You can reach out to others. As part of the right actions, the right thing to do is to reach out to others. We've said it a million times in our outreach ministries here. You'll never feel the kind of satisfaction it feels to help somebody you know that can never possibly repay you. But that's part of the right actions, is reaching out to others. There's folks in this room a whole lot less fortunate than other folks in this same room. And we can reach out to each other, even if it's just in prayer. We can reach out and lift each other up in prayer. That's the right thing to do. Confronting somebody because they're less fortunate than we are, talking about somebody because they're less fortunate than we are, you know, no. Reaching out to each other, helping each other, lifting each other up in prayer, that's what we need to be doing. Showing each other love and grace and mercy. Because there's a God in heaven that reached out to you one day when you didn't deserve it, and he picked you up. And that's what he's got us here for, to take the right actions, to make that first step, to get the right attitude, and now to take action. reaching out to those people. Your voice carries much further than you think. Do you have any idea how far your voice carries just in this community? It's amazing. And with social media and platforms that go worldwide, I think Brother Johnny was talking about how many people from foreign countries are watching these services each and every week, where you can see where people's logging in from. Your voice carries much further than you think it does. You can be heard by multitudes. Jesus preached from the mountains. You can be an example in your life. You can be an example if you want to take to social media. You can be an example just who you talk to at the grocery store. I had somebody at work this past week. You know, I started a new job, and they come across to my office, and they said, you scare these guys to death. I'm surrounded by a bunch of construction folks. You scare these guys to death. I'm like, what? What did I do? I'm sitting here taking training for 3 weeks. I've stared at a computer screen for 120 hours. Well, they found out you was a preacher, and they said, we need to stop our cursing, we need to stop our cutting up, and we need to stop our being so loud. I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on the Lord. They found out I was something called a preacher and thought I was different than the next fleshly person down the hallway. But if that's what it takes to get their attention, and maybe, hey, this guy don't have to live like we do. This guy, I want to be more like this guy. He set an example that we can even take at work. And please, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Lord. Because not so distant past, Ronnie might have been right in there with him. There's several of us that would have been right in there with him. And we see this every single day. But now we have an opportunity to reach out to those folks. We've got started climbing our mountain. Maybe we're not at the top of our mountain yet, but we've got started climbing it. We've made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We've got started. We've got the right attitude, and now we've got something to do. You can be heard by multitudes just like Jesus preaching from the mountaintops. Be an example in your lives. Be an example on your social media. In your daily conversations with others. By the way, young people, we did most of our stupid stuff before they had Facebook and social media. It's not that we didn't. It's just it's not out there right now. Yeah, amen. Y'all, I think everybody can say that that's older, as old as me. But you can be an example through that. Everybody that's up here that gets in front of one of those cameras can be an example in how you live your life and what you do. And by the way, anybody in here applying for a job anywhere right now, they're going through your social media as we speak. On the weekends and the afternoons, that HR is going through your social media to see what kind of person you are. Your voice carries much further than you think it does. And Brother David, you can witness to people that I can't. You can witness to some of my family members that I can't because they knew me then. How long have we been on this hill, Brother Robbie? First grade? Second grade? That's a long time ago, by the way, for you young people. And no, we didn't write on stone tablets back then, but I've heard that. You can be an example right here in this community, right here in this town. We got one that's fixing to go off and do his thing. He can be an example on how he was raised. Raise up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. We've got some right here to make an impression on. I've got one in Cumberland County to make an impression on still. Guys, when you make your decision to climb your mountain, when you take the first step and get saved, you've got things to do. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll give you the strength to climb the steepest parts of that mountain. Not all of it's going to be a nice little drive up into the Smokies. Not all of it's going to be nice scenery. Some of it's going to be steep and treacherous. Just know who to reach out for when you need some help. Our daily conversation with others. And number four, to finish up, told you, to finish up, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. There will be blessings. There will be rewards. There will be a mountaintop experience. There will be all these things. And if you're doing that for your time here on this earth, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. If you're doing that to get a pat on the back here on this earth, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. It's great to tell your pastor when he's done what you thought of the message. It's great to thank him for the dedication and things that he's put into that message and into this time and prayer for the congregation. It's great to acknowledge him, but that's not why he does it. It's great we've got somebody else coming in here next week. It'd be great to pay attention to him, not fall asleep. It'd be great to tell him how much you appreciate what he's doing for the Lord and how he's standing out and how he's standing up for the Lord, but that's not why he does it. It's great to acknowledge your deacons. It's great to acknowledge your Sunday school teachers. It's great to acknowledge somebody else that's meant something in your life. All this time, it's great to acknowledge them and thank them for the things that they've done in your life. But that's not why they do it, Brother David. That's not why they do it. It's not for the paycheck here on this earth. It's for the blessings and things after we leave this earth. There's things after we leave this earth. It's a point, after we leave this earth, there's things that we're looking forward to. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. That tells me there's something immediately after I take my last breath here on this earth. There's something immediately going to happen after that. And that's where those things will be. Yeah, he lets us see things here real time on this earth. That's one of the reasons I think we're definitely in the end days and we're definitely coming up soon. He lets us see things real time. Earlier in my life, I can remember when things happened, and you think back later on, you say, okay, that's why God let that happen. Okay, I get it now. But he's letting us see things happen in real time right now. He's letting us see some of those blessings right now, the people that we can help and reach out to, the situations that we can help and stand in the gap for, how our church stands up for the folks in this community, how our church stands up and stands together and does our outreach for this community. He lets us see these blessings real time. But the real blessings that I'm looking for are going to be there. I know where I'm going when I take my last breath. I know what I'll be able to see. I know who I'll be there with. I have that hope. I have that assurance of eternal life through Jesus Christ. No more pain, no more suffering, no more putting up with what's in this world. I have that assurance. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, you don't have that assurance. You can't start climbing that mountain with me. You can't take your first step towards climbing your mountain until you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's that simple. So you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you take that first step, you get started. You get the right attitude. Some of us have the right attitude, but we skip step one. We take the right actions. Some of us have the right attitude and participate in the actions, but we've skipped the step one. We've got to have everything wrapped up together to be able to get to the top of this mountain the way the Lord wants us to get there. I struggle with my mountain. I struggle with the hard times. I struggle with the depression. I struggle with the loneliness sometimes of thinking I'm just doing this by myself. I struggle with the outreach sometimes. I struggle with people. I love the kids. The adults make me mad. Sorry. That's just the way it is most of the time. I struggle with this inner man inside me. I struggle with my climb to the top of this mountain. But when I stop and think about how the Lord will guide us to the top of this mountain, he'll put us on the right trail. It's not going to be wide. It's not going to be smooth. It's not going to be the easiest path that we can take. But nothing worth having is ever the easiest, is it? He will help you. He will give you your blessings. He will give you your rewards. And you can experience that mountaintop experience. If we could get some musicians to come, we'll close. I just want you to remember that those that reject Christ will lose the race. There's people out there that's rejected Christ, they're going to lose the race even before it starts. There's people that, you know, we think that are saved that are not. We're going to lose that race. They're going to lose that race to get to the mountaintop. Their destinies are sealed. There comes a time in this life when we run out of time. When that door is shut that no man can open, you lose that race. You lose that opportunity to climb that mountain. You lose that opportunity to get on the right track. So I beg you tonight, before you leave here, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, take care of that now. Somebody will come and pray with you. I'm gonna cut this mic off and kneel down here in just a second. Somebody will come and pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now is the sign that you've been waiting on. Let him help you climb that mountain. No matter how old or young you are, let him help you climb that mountain. One more question to ask. Where do you stand on your mountain today? Maybe you are saved. Maybe you know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with him. Maybe you're just getting started climbing your mountain. You need to know that you're on the right trail. Maybe you're halfway up the mountain and needing some more encouragement. Maybe you've started that climb. You're saved. You've done all the right things. You're in the right order. And you've started that climb, and you just need some encouragement. You can get that encouragement through him. You can come down here and pray. You can pray at home. You can pray right there in your seat. I'm not going to call anybody out. I'm not going to ask anybody to close your eyes and raise your hands. But maybe you're just halfway up that mountain, and you're needing some encouragement. You've got friends or family or something that's become a stumbling block to you, and you need some encouragement. Come to him and pray. Let him strengthen you. Maybe you're almost at the top, and he wants you to keep climbing higher, to get to that peak to where you need to be. I'm going to ask them to sing one more verse and give us an opportunity, one more opportunity here tonight just to come to him in prayer. You can do it right there at your seat, or you can come right down here and pray with me. One more opportunity tonight before we leave out here and go out into this world. Let him help you climb your mountain.
Now burst on my side.
like that's sufficient. I've said everything the Lord laid on my heart. I hope I said everything that I needed to, nothing I didn't. Guys, I do want to appeal to you one more time, while you still can, while you still have a breath in your body. Ask God to help you climb that mountain. He's not going to leave you by yourself. Just ask him for help. Guys, I appreciate you guys being here again. I pray for safe passage as we leave here tonight. Anybody got anything in their heart they want to say? All hearts and minds are clear. Brother James, left you care to dismiss us in prayer, please.